Father, we are blessed to be here today, to be in your presence. And Lord, just accept what we have in as far as praise goes. And Lord, give Carl the words that you want us to hear. And Father, for everyone who isn't here this morning for whatever reason, that's part of this little family, Lord, we ask you to be with them as well. May everything that goes on here today, whether it's the singing and the worshiping that we're going to do, whether it's the message from Carl, conversations and everything that goes on after service, Lord, let them truly be honoring to you, because we love you, God, and we're so grateful for the love you show us. In your son's name, amen. For Mark, who had a bad night, and Leanne, who's suffering for it, Lord, give them both rest and return them to health. Lord, for Abby, Lord, she's gone through so much. We ask you to continue to be with her and to find out and let the doctors know what it is that's causing this cough so they can give her some relief. For all of those that suffered through that tornado that ripped through Memphis and surrounding areas, Father, thank you for being with those people. The destruction was just horrendous. And for Melissa, Lord, we pray that her ear or whatever it is that's causing her to feel unwell, that you just reach down and just give her that simple touch that will restore her to feeling well. And for all those unspoken prayers that are on our hearts, Lord, you know what they are. We ask you to take them into consideration and do what only you can do, because you're God. Father, we thank you for being with us, for being with our families and our friends. You are an awesome God. And Lord, we're forever in your debt. In your son's name, amen.
In our midst. And we just pray for Pastor Carl right now that he will give us the words that you want us to hear, Lord. Open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, so that we will learn and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, we have liftoff. This morning I was just trying to make my brain stop for a minute or two, and I was watching Sunday morning. And I didn't know this until this morning, but today is International Women's Day. And I want to tell you, I want to honor you, my wife, and I want to honor all of you women out there today who really hold us together. Isn't that the truth, Rhoda? That's the truth. There is so little time given to making anyone aware how important women are. That's not my message today, but I just wanted to say that because I didn't realize there was an International Day of Women. I honestly didn't. So as we start this morning, I want to share with you some things that follow right along with what Pastor John has been teaching us the last four Sundays. for Audrey and Ed who weren't here, you're going to get a bit of a recap. John's been talking to us about what? I wonder how many people know what he was talking about the last four Sundays. Give those ladies a B for bingo. Strengthening your inner core. How do we strengthen our inner core? This follows right along with what Pastor John has been talking about. Most people today, and I say that this with all the love I have, don't know what strengthening your inner core is. How do we strengthen our inner core? There are many things that we can do. I'm going to share a few of them with you. But the first thing that we need to hear about is how do we get to the point that we can begin to strengthen our inner core? There's something that has to happen to everyone in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, wherever you want to say, that has to happen before you can become ready for what God wants to do in your spiritual core. First thing is, you must be justified. That means justification, big doctrine of the Word of God. People have used the cliche, and I promised my wife I wouldn't use it. Just as if I'd never. You know what that means? Well, the truth is, justification is a big term for surrendering yourself, like I surrender, surrendering yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because not something you have done, but by something He has done for you. The work is completed through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, who convicts you in your inner core of something that you didn't have before. In other words, God puts inside of you, every one of us born has this little void inside of us. That's the place that Jesus Christ is supposed to take when He comes to you and says, what will you do with this Jesus? What will you do with this Jesus? When you're confronted with that fact, you have a choice. And let me tell you, everything you do every single day of your life is all about choices. You choose. You choose Him because He first loved you. Amen? Well, God the Son accomplishes this by His life, which He Himself gave up the riches of glory. Being with the Father in heaven, He stood up and said, Father, I will go. I will go down to earth. I will become their advocate. I will become their lawyer. I will stand before you in the court of humankind and say, because of what I'm about to do, you will not see man's sin, but you will see them through me and the power of the cross. So Jesus Christ came down to earth to find you and me not guilty. As you would hear in a court of law, if you'd committed murder step back from that. If you're in a court of law and you had been found not guilty of something, you are acquitted. Now, everyone in this place, I hope, has been acquitted. To raise our hands if we say, I've been acquitted for more than 40 years, raise your hand. I've been acquitted for 30 years. Keep your hands raised. For 30 years plus. I've been acquitted and I am now 20 years acquitted. And I am now saying that I've been 10 years acquitted. I have been 5 years acquitted. I have been 6 months committed. Hallelujah. And I have been just acquitted. Anybody? Well, you know what that means, folks? That I'm talking to the spiritually alive. You have been accessed by a very, very important person. Because when you give your life to Christ, when you accept Him as your Savior, something happens. Can I have the first slide there, Richard? Thank you. You're just like my wife. She fills in the blanks all the time. So if we read this, okay, and you were also included in Christ, everyone who raised their hand this morning, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, okay, when you believed. You were marked in Him with a seal. We've been given a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. What? He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Do I hear an amen to that? I mean, my goodness, folks, we have something that no one else on the planet has. When you have Jesus Christ come into your life, the promised Holy Spirit, whom He said in John that He would send and He would be a comforter for you, He comes in and He seals that place in God's heart, in the Son's heart, in the Holy Spirit's heart, and in your heart. He comes in and He seals it. If you're sealed in something, can you get out of it? You are sealed. That means forever in Him. Oh, I've heard of people walking away, but why would you want to walk away? We have something that no one else in the world has, except for those. We just saw that on the screen, that there are 800,000 people in South Korea who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that you and I come to Him. And it's only by saying, I believe in what Jesus Christ, the Son, has done for me. He has, as my advocate, He stands before the Father and He says, I acquit Carl. I acquit Don. He says that and He guarantees that by placing in us the Holy Spirit, who is the seal for us. For how long? Forever and ever and ever. He takes your past. The Word tells us. He takes your past and He puts it as far as the east is from the west. And who can ever come together? East and west, they don't. It's a plane. It's there. You are sealed. You are guaranteed. What? What are you guaranteed? Eternal life. Say it again. Eternal life. The life that Jesus Christ gives you is not a life sentence, but an eternal life sentence. You are His for eternity. That will never change. Salvation, which is justification, changes something. It changes your eternity. changes your eternity. Forever, you belong to Him. The seal of the Holy Spirit guarantees that. No one can ever take that away from you. Okay? But now you've come to Christ. You've been sealed with a guarantee. Now what? Do we sit back and wait for Him to come? Do we sit back and say, my ticket's punched, therefore I don't have to do anything else? How then shall we live after that point? If justification is, or your salvation is the starting line, where is the finish line? Either when we're taken up by Him, or we pass away. Either that's the finish line. We go into eternity with Him forever. So, we've been redeemed positionally. We've been reconciled to God by the work of Christ. And we have been sealed positionally by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That's been sort of explained to us as a new birth. Something happens, you have a new birth. You are born again. You have had, well, I know that when my children were born, they were brand new babies, and they had to live on mama's milk when they first came into this world. And then they began to eat pablum, and then they began to eat some pureed foods, and then they began to have their first chance at eating a banana all by themselves. That is the way life is. Is our walk from the starting line out there, is that what it's like? Is it like maturing in Christ? I guess I ask the question, are you maturing according to the Word of God? Troubles come all the time. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But the nice thing is, we have the Holy Spirit who helps us in times of trouble. He comes to us. I pray the Holy Spirit go to Lynn today and just be with her and be with the family as they're planning the funeral for Lynn Boyle's mom. God is with us. God is with us. So we have to understand that when we first came to Christ as a baby, we had to drink spiritual milk. And then we began to eat the pablum. Well, here is, for all of you to see, this is the meat and potatoes. When you first come to Christ, you're a baby. You have to listen to someone teach you the things of the basics of the Christian walk. As you begin to grow in grace, you begin to read this word. You begin to hide these things, as Psalm 109 says that, Lord, I have hidden thy word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Sin's a big word. It's only three letters, but it sure is big. Some of us are very easy to challenge others about their sin, you know, but they don't look at their own. Well, it's also been compared to a walk. Your life is walking towards that celestial city. John Bunyan wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress. If none of you haven't read it, get a copy. Pilgrim's Progress, or get the video and watch the video of Pilgrim's Progress, because it shows there how Pilgrim is walking towards the celestial city and how he goes off the real road onto something else. And then he comes back. He goes back the road, gets back on the road again, goes off the road again. Is that something like your life and mine? Hey? Chuck Swindoll wrote a book called 3 Steps Forward and 3 Forward and 2 Back. But that's pretty normal for the believer. Some believers that I know have had tremendous spiritual highs, but I've known others who have tremendous spiritual lows. We have to be the ones to help each other come back together, to get on the right track, to pray, to hug, which is now it's a elbow bump. or a foot tap for sure. Well, John's talking about strengthening our spiritual core, and I think I've come up with a word for it. The word is called sanctification. And sanctification changes your character. I am no longer who I was. I'm becoming like who I will be. And that is a process. Birth, life, death, or resurrection. One or the other. I hope it's a resurrection. Anybody like that? I want to go from this place alive and changed in an instant, as the word tells us, just to be like Jesus. So sanctification changes your character, and that character is changed over your life. And there are things that will challenge you in your life, maybe not every day, but for sure there are challenges you have along the way. How you choose to handle those events that come into your life is going to say whether or not you're growing or you're taking a step back. Hey, whether you're growing or taking a step back. Anybody of you here like change? Not too many of us like change. But the Old Testament says that when we come together like this, we're like pieces of iron that sharpen iron. Oh, sparks fly. But the love of Jesus Christ compels us to gather together in this way. To what? To praise His holy name. To surrender Him, to worship Him with our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, to bring praise to the people. This is what God has delighted in me this week. Or prayer. This is what I need prayer for this week. We all depend on each other for this growth. It just doesn't come by yourself. We have each other to carry us along, to have each other to help change our character. Now, have I ever been challenged in this walk? I will guarantee you I have. I guarantee you I have. My wife says I shouldn't go back to these things and talk about them, so I'm not going to. How about that? I just changed my message right there. But God is in control. Have any of you arrived at perfect sanctification? Have any of you arrived there? Will you ever arrive? One day, could be the very near future that the Father says, I need you with me. Your struggle on this world is done. Come home. Like Lynn Boyle's mom. There are others in our midst who aren't here today because they are weakened in their bodies. But I know they want to be here in their spirit. That's Colin and Margie. They want to be here. But because of life, it just has some way of trying to beat us down. But our hearts, which is sealed by the Holy Spirit, gives us the strength to carry on. We sang the song you sang, the first one you sang in the second set, was the song I told Richard and Phil. It's the song that I wanted to sing as the close. Oh, so I had to change it. We'll do it again at the end because surrendering is the way we grow. When we're in our prayer closet and wherever that may be, you know, people talk about a prayer closet, something like it's a little room you go into and there you go. No. I don't know where your prayer closet, mine's often in the car. I'll be praying for somebody driving around town. You come into my mind, I'm praying for you. Where's your prayer closet? Therefore, I think I might have said this before, but therefore is therefore for a reason. What has come just before? In 2 Corinthians 7, what has come just before, since those things have happened, therefore you and me should do this. Since we have these promises, the promises that have just been given to us before by Paul, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness. That's another word for sanctification, out of reverence for God. God wants us to get rid of the things that contaminate. He wants us to purify our bodies, our souls, so that we can perfect His holiness because we revere Him. It is difficult to do. Paul tells us in Romans 6:11, in the same way count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus. Well, that's a big statement. In the same way count yourselves what? Dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus. It's like sin can have no control over you because that part of you is dead. You're no longer going to do those things. And all of us have those things in our past lives that we can say, oh, I did not like to do that. I didn't like to do that. But we then pray and ask God to cleanse us and count us alive. Alive to God through Christ. In Hebrews 12:6, it says, the Father no longer sees us. He sees Jesus Christ, the perfection and finisher of our faith. So having the Holy Spirit in us and remembering that Jesus Christ came, bled, died, buried, rose from the grave. We're about to celebrate that on Easter. But I'm saying it to you now as a refresher to remember that He is the one who perfects us. He is the one who finishes our faith. Our faith is to walk by faith, not by sight. So you and I can be like Christ, becoming Christ-like. Sanctification begins a walk in us that we begin to become Christ-like. And that happens with the help of who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When we stand to sing, we're singing to an audience of one. That's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Audience of one. When we sing to honor Him. So it doesn't matter what kind of a voice you have. If you are singing to him, what does he know? He knows you're singing to him. When you pray, when you let yourself go and let him be the focus, allowing him to be that one. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, I pray that out of the glorious his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? Oh, strengthen you with?
Power.
Strengthen you with?
Power.
Strengthen you with?
Power.
There we are. We're getting. He gives the ability for us to be strengthened by his power in us. We are able to do things that we wouldn't be able to do in the flesh. What's the flesh? The flesh is this body. When God gives you to pray for someone, you're praying in the power of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He comes for that purpose, to enable you, to strengthen you by his power to do that which you cannot do for yourself. He wants you to become holy. There's a word in Greek, it's called hagios. Hagios is Greek meaning saintly or becoming saintly. And that's where the word sanctification comes from. In the Hebrew, it's the word kadesh. And kadesh means to be set apart. To be set apart. For what? For his glory. For his honor. For him. The Old Testament is rife with things that Israel did wrong. But save for Jesus Christ, when he came, to give life. And he went down into hell to preach to those when he was 3 days in the belly, 3 days in Sheol. He preached to them so they have the opportunity to come to Christ. Think about that. They're his people. They're his people. You are his people. We are part of the worldwide body, the church of Jesus Christ. Well, when we're walking this walk and we get to a place where we say, Lord, I want your fullness in me. Not that I could stand it, but I want your fullness in me. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be the kind of man. I want to be the kind of man that you would have me to be. In Galatians 5, here are the things that happen to you when you're becoming sanctified. You begin to produce fruit. You begin to produce fruit unto him. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, have you been producing that kind of fruit in the last couple of weeks? If you haven't, what can you do? Look to God, ask him, Father, as I hear Phil pray all the time, Father, give me patience. Now. We all want it now. But all of these things are over time. We grow into his grace. We grow into his love. We begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit that really causes us by the Holy Spirit to be seen in the world around us. You haven't been called to go and speak in Ethiopia. You haven't been called to go and speak in Somalia. But you can pray for those people who have been called to go over there. Have patience and self-control. We're all guilty of sin. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who loved us enough and gave himself for us. But as justification or salvation changes our eternity and sanctification changes our character, how long does that take? All of our life. Thanks, Jim. All of our life we are being changed into his likeness. Pastor John knows the Word of God, and he speaks it to us every week. But I'll say to you all, in a week from now you won't remember this, and probably 10 weeks from now you'll remember what John said. The whole idea of growth is you as an individual spending time with God, with his Word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Against you. The Holy Spirit's working us as like a light. He's there. And he's there to shine his light inside of us, and only we can see it. Only you know what you know what you know. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes to live in us, he comes to shine his light on everything about us that isn't what he wants in us. And he shines his light on us so that we can repent of it and grow and become mature and become sanctified. Anybody hearing me in that? Amen. Yeah, we're at a place today where I think the promised return of our Savior is imminent. I live that way. I live like he's coming back tomorrow. I think, Lord, come on. I look around the world and I see all the things that are going on and men chasing after men for this and that and disease and pestilence and earthquakes and storms and everything. But you know what? That doesn't matter. Is Jesus alive in you today? Is he alive in you today? Do you say, Lord, whatever's going on in the world, I know it's happening for a purpose. For you bringing all of this to an end. And I will spend eternity with you. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. And he transforms us, what? A little bit? A whole lot. He transforms us continually. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What part did you play that? I think that there is all about him doing something in us. So that says we can be passive in it and we can be active in it. The sanctification can be a passive sanctification by saying, I surrender all. That's passively saying to the Lord, I want you to come and do in me that which I cannot do for myself. And then there's the active part of it. When God says, speak to that person. You're just rubbing shoulders, saying hello. And he says, speak. That's you actively becoming part of the story that God has for us. The truth. And we are being what? Transformed. You all saw that show, The Transformers? I know you didn't see it. Okay, well, it's all about these aliens who transform from alien beings into cars and trucks. And they spoke. That's not you and me. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God so that we have unveiled faces. And we look and contemplate As we get close to Easter, we see the, I see the cross, and I weep because I should be there. I should be there. When he's hanging on that cross, he's hanging there with you and I, there with him. Galatians tells us that. For I have been crucified with Christ, Paul cries. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My goodness. And then, on Easter Sunday morning, the stone's been rolled away, and he's alive. And I'm alive because he's alive. You're alive because he's alive. In you, by his promised, John 17, his promised Holy Spirit. And what's he going to do, that Holy Spirit, when he comes into your life? What did he do when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ? He what? He became a seal, a guarantee of where you're going. So when we sing on Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, alive, alive, alive forever, we should really, really lift our voices because we are alive with him in that Easter morning. We were crucified on the Friday. We rose from the grave on the Sunday. We're alive because he lives. We can face tomorrow. When the Spirit of God comes into your heart, he is going to tell you all about the truth. If something is said from this pulpit that isn't the truth, he will reveal it to you. And it's your job to come to me or to John or to Phil or who's ever up here and let them know they're wrong. And then you can have what the Bible says. You can have an argument. That isn't an argument of I'm right and you're wrong. Why do you say that I'm wrong? Why do you say thus? Why do you say so? Faith, works. Works, faith. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Show me your work, I'll show you my faith. God wants you to be in a place where the Spirit of truth can guide you into all truth. The Father planned it. The Son provides it. The Holy Spirit performs it. And this is your guidebook. 66 books written over 1,500 years, 40 different authors, and nothing contradicts the other in it. This is the Word of God. The Father planned it. The Father provides. The Son provides it. The Holy Spirit performs it, and we have it to read, study, and obey, that we might with unveiled faces look upon his glory. Hebrews 12:14, Richard. That would be number 11. Okay, it's not here? Okay, I got it. A consistent, mature, sanctified life will reflect the love of God in Christ to others. That's Hebrews 12:14. He will do it for others. He will do it for you. So, friends, today, John has been speaking the last four Sundays on strengthening your spiritual core. I pray that I've helped you see how you can strengthen your inner core with the words of God, thanking the Father for the Son by the Holy Spirit who can help you grow. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this patient people. Thank you for your goodness to us. And that, Father, positionally we're okay. And by sanctification, we have the guarantee that our character will change over time. I pray for everyone in this place today that, Father, they will look upon you with unveiled faces and become and think about the glory of Jesus Christ. He's cheering us on. And the Holy Spirit, His still small voice, is showing us the way. Thank you, Father, for this time now. We give you praise in Jesus' name.